Good evening, everyone. My name is Pastor Chris. I serve as the pastor at Ideal Park Christian Reformed Church here in Wyoming, Michigan. But I also have the privilege of being Paul Soonhock's great friend. He calls me that. He moved in my second year in seminary, and we were neighbors for 3 years, and we got to know each other very well. And as we'll examine this evening, I learned that Paul was someone who, as we just sang, it is Christ who's going to work in him and through him, and that's what I want us to focus on this evening, thinking about how God is going to use Paul in ministry. Now I know he is going to. So if you would, join me in a word of prayer as we prepare to hear God's word this evening. Let's pray. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, God, we thank you for this special evening where we can come together, to ordain and send a man, a person who you have called into ministry, a person who you have led to this point and who you have worked in and through and who you will continue to work in and through, and we pray our blessings on him. As we come to hear your word, Lord, we pray that you would meet us here. I pray, Lord, for the words spoken through your servant this evening, and I pray that they would be clear, that they would be encouraging. And I pray, Lord, that you will continue to equip Paul for the work of your hands. Bless us now as we hear your word. I pray this all in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. This evening, we're going to hear from Luke 5, verses 12 through 16. It's about a healing that Jesus does. Hear these words from Luke 5, verses 12 through 16. While Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. Then Jesus ordered him, "Don't tell anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifice that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Yet the news about him spread all the more, so that crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. This is the word of the Lord. Paul is in for it because before I prepared the sermon, he said, "Just talk right to me and tell me whatever you want to say, Chris." And I said, "Okay, Paul." And so I thought about a text that as I've entered into ministry, I've only been in full-time ministry for about 2.5 years now. And as we all know, the world has been turned upside down. There's a lot of things that have changed for us in the last few years. And I thought, it's really, really commendable that Paul is going into this ministry. That Paul is going to enter into this place, he's going to enter into this field, in a place where so many are hurting and wondering and are unsure of what tomorrow will bring. As I read this text and see it, I see that Jesus has just launched his own ministry. Of course, he's done ministry before, but he has just called his first disciples before this. Jesus has just launched his formal ministry here, calling some of the first people who are going to come and follow him. They go off and they enter into an unknown town. It doesn't even tell us which one it is. I really like that. It could be any old town, any place. It could be anywhere, and Jesus goes here And the first thing it tells us in our text is that a man came along and was covered with leprosy. What is leprosy? We don't hear about that very often in our world. It actually, in this text, is not referring to the skin disease that we think of as leprosy. It's kind of a broad, wide array of different possible skin diseases. But really, it doesn't matter because the effect, at least spiritually, is the same for this man. The disease is less important than the effects of the disease that it has on this man. We should know that by Jewish practice, anyone who has a skin disease, anyone who's sick, we know a little bit about that, what it is like to be sick, perhaps. Well, they're to be separate. They're to be marked as separate. We actually learn in the Old Testament, Leviticus 13, verse 45, it tells us that anyone with such a defiling disease, they remain unclean. They must live alone. They must live outside the camp. That's the life of this guy. This man is alone. He's living separate. He has to yell out unclean whenever he gets close to somebody, lest he infect somebody else. Maybe we know a little bit about what that feels like. Maybe we know what that is to feel like we have to stay away from each other. Regardless, this man is wandering around and he's hoping for a cure. This man is physically unclean, but not just physically. I think he must be spiritually unclean. He cannot come within certain bounds. He has to stay away from certain people. And he's not just physically and theologically, he's psychologically torn down. He's been separated perhaps from his family and from his friends for years, avoiding them. Social distancing was a norm for this guy. This man is sitting and he's waiting. He has been in desperation, holding on to the last thread of hope, hoping that something will work, hoping that somebody will come along and cleanse him. This man is sitting and waiting, and as he sits there, he sees this man known as Jesus that he's perhaps heard about. Maybe the word has spread a little bit, and Jesus is coming down the street. Notice that as Jesus approaches, the man yells out, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." This is no mere request. It's not a small request. The man isn't even sure if Jesus is going to fulfill this. He's asking and saying, "If you are willing, Jesus, are you willing to do this for me? Are you willing to make me clean?" Maybe it's been long that the guy has given up and says, "I don't know if anyone's willing to do this anymore. I don't know if anyone's willing to come and clean me. I don't know. I'm so broken and so hurt. I'm in desperate need." And in desperation, it tells us that he falls down on his face, literally pleading and begging. The word in Greek is that he binds himself to Jesus. "This is the only hope I have, Jesus. Are you willing to make me clean?" He's asking for a lot. He's hurting a lot. Just as I'm sure many of us have hurt over the last few years. One thing I've learned, Paul, over the last few years is that there are a lot of hurting people in the world. People are burying their past like a disease. And they're asking, "Is God willing?" People all over the place are wondering, "Is somebody ever going to stop and pay me attention? Is anybody going to stop and care about me?" They're all asking the question, "Is God willing?" You, Paul, are stepping into ordained ministry. And as you step into this, it's a very valiant calling, I think. You and I have had a lot of talks about what ministry is. But as you're called into ordained ministry, I don't think people are just going to see Paul. They're not just going to see Soon Ha. They're going to look at you and they're going to wonder if you have an answer from God. is God willing, you have the privilege of stepping into what we call a priestly role. You know about that from seminary. A representative for God. You're stepping into a place where a lot of people are going to desire healing and representation. They're going to have a lot of questions for you. They're going to want healing. People are going to come to you with physical questions, Paul. I'm sick. I have cancer. Is God willing? People are going to come with spiritual and social questions. People are going to come with their emotional baggage and spiritual brokenness, their past and their hurts. Is God willing, Paul? Like the man who's unclean, he's going to have his doubts. They're going to have their doubts. Am I clean enough for God? What can you tell me about that, Paul? Have I messed up too bad? Can God love me after I've done X, Y, and Z? I found that in their hearts, people know these things, but they need to be reminded of them all the time, every Sunday. They need to be reminded that God is indeed willing. You, Paul, as a pastor, are being invited into the role of a receiver. People are going to look at you and they're going to wonder and ask these questions. They're going to be looking for meaning. They're wondering if they can be healed, if they can be accepted, if they can leave the isolation of shame and guilt which has bound them for years. Is God willing? Thankfully, you, Paul, as a pastor and a heart after God's own heart. You have the privilege of being the one who bears the good news to them that indeed God is willing. Amen? We have a Savior who is indeed willing to reach out and heal. I love what happens here. Jesus heals and two things happen. We see that the man is healed, first of all. It's a miracle. He experienced cleansing, and then Jesus sends him out to do the proper memorial, to remember what it is that who is doing the healing. He sends him to the temple to redirect him, to remind him who it is who is doing the healing. It is God himself. Go and show yourself to the priests and offer a sacrifice that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them. Jesus sends the man off, and what happens is, even though he's to keep quiet, something happens. The word spreads. It says that word spreads about Jesus. The news about him spread all the more. The word in Greek is something like, it spread through the grapevine. Word, or mouth to mouth, ear to ear. This work of ministry that Jesus has done, he has equipped the man for ministry, and Jesus has offered an important model for ministry here, I think. We see that when ministry is done, the word is proclaimed. Now, I know, Paul, that we are all people who are in need of healing. We are all people who need the cleansing power of Christ. We are all people who need healing inside and out. And I believe, knowing you well, that this is why you are becoming a pastor, why you are being ordained. Because I think you have a heart which loves people and wants to see them healed. I know that you know this because you've told me how Jesus came along in your life and when you were searching and wondering and wandering. Jesus reached into your life and he said, I am willing. He reached out his hand, and unafraid of the uncleanliness of our condition, he healed your own heart. And you've chosen the path of the man who was healed of his leprosy. You're going into the world to proclaim this healing, and you are called to proclaim that healing in Christ. That the cross and the sacrifice of Jesus has healed us, so that we are accepted and loved by God. We were afflicted with sickness, unable to move, unsure of our future, and you have the opportunity to remind them week in and week out that indeed God is willing. What I love about Paul is that he has a heart of deep compassion and deep understanding. He has a heart which is willing to look at anybody else and to say, I want to not just know you, but to understand you. Recently, I was reading a book by Henry Nouwen. If you haven't read him, I highly encourage it. And he said, what people really need is somebody to be there to let them know that you care, to let them know that there is somebody there who does indeed care for them, and when they see you, they will see God. Paul, I think you're that person, and I know you've done that in my own life. As we've talked, as we've chatted, as we've had coffee and tea and food all over Grand Rapids, you've listened to me, and you've been there, and you've reflected the patience and the love of Christ as we camped together out in the woods, just you and me, trying not to burn down the forest with our campfire. You've spoken words of love and words of compassion, and you have shown the love of Christ. And if you've shown that to me, I know how many others you've done that for. I love how you show people that God is willing. As you do this healing, Paul, as you go into the world, we've talked here about a few things and what ministry looks like, that you're going to do this and people are going to show forward and talk about the love of Christ and show what you are doing, but there's one little line here that I want you to pay attention to, and one that I've had to come to rely on myself. It might be easy for us to read past this, but for pastors and any of us, I think, we need to not skip over this one brief line. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places, and he prayed. Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. I think it's important for us to remember, Paul, that as Jesus did his own ministry, God incarnate, he realized the need to refresh and be alone in the presence of God the Father. We might be tempted to keep on healing. We might be tempted to keep on calling and bringing more people into ministry. But the truth is that for all of us, if we do not stop, we grow tired and weary. Don't forget to neglect that, or do not neglect this part of your spiritual life, Paul. Do not neglect to withdraw to lonely places and pray. As you do so, I think you complete the cycle of ministry and you are equipped to start over, to call and to heal, for the word to spread and to do it all over again, to withdraw to lonely places to pray so that you can be refreshed, that you can be alive in God, experience his presence and his love. Paul, I'm so excited to see what God will do in you. I'm so encouraged to see all the people whose lives you have touched as we sit here and look at all the people gathered here. It's obvious that you have a gift for demonstrating what it is for God to say, I am willing. Blessings on you as you start ordained ministry, continuing the work which God has started within you. Let's pray. We thank you, Lord, that you equip us. We thank you that you lead us. We thank you that you empower us. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would continue to work in Paul to empower him and equip him for the work that you have ahead of him. May he not neglect to stop in his week, in his life, to spend time with you. May he not be tempted to continue on in his own work, but rather I pray that you would draw him close to you so that he would be equipped to go out into the world and proclaim the good news of the gospel. That you indeed are willing, Lord, and that you will heal, that you have healed us through the power of Christ. pray all of this in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. I invite you to rise in body or in spirit to sing, Holy Spirit, living breath of God.